Welcome to Flavors Under the Big Sky, celebrating the bounty of the region. I'm Stella Fong. When you buy meat at the market to grill, braise, or bake, do you ever think about how it gets into the plastic wrap packages? In this show, we go to Project Meats, or the now-renamed Ranch House Sausage Company, a local meat processor in Billings just outside of Huntley. We talk to owners Shane and Tanya Flowers about how they got into the meat processing business, and then actually go into the facility right off of Highway 312. There is a retail storefront at the processing plant where you can buy meats and seasonings, but for convenience, the Flowers also opened a retail space in Midtown Billings called the Ranch House Meat Company. Here they sell not only different cuts of meat, but bacon in a variety of flavors, sausages, beef sticks, and foodstuffs to cook with these items. But let's first head to Ranch House Sausage Company to talk to Shane and Tanya in their office. Shane shares the beginnings of his business.
Project Meats has been in business for over 40 years. We bought it. It was just a custom processing plant where they did farmers, ranchers, beef, hogs, stuff like that. But we wanted to brand ourselves outside of that a little bit as we got into more stores and stuff, because when you get outside of the Billings area, people aren't going to understand what Project Meats is, you know, I mean, the Huntley Project side of things. So we wanted to go to a name that would be a little more universal across the state. Our products, we have branded those as Ranch House Sausage. It goes along with our bacon and everything else, but we call it Ranch House Sausage Company, which is what this is here. And our store in town is Ranch House Meat Company. So we just kept the Ranch House name of it, but the sausage is our production side of things.
So when we bought the place, it was a custom plant only. He had a small chest freezer with some raw cut products in it for people that wanted to come in and pick up a steak or two. We brought on all of the sausage, the bacon, the ham, the jerky, snack sticks, brats. We have all of that we've created ourselves over the years. Granted, it wasn't always good, but we've gotten to where it's pretty consistently good now. It's been fun kind of learning all that new stuff, but we've got probably 15 different brats and probably 12 different snack sticks and probably 6 different jerkies that we carry.
And you opened the Billings store in 2014. So what made you decide to enter Billings?
We had quite a few clients that had come over from Laurel, and they kept asking us for a store in town. We bought this back in 2007. When we first started, there was about 8 employees here, and we decided that we needed to streamline a few processes. So a few of them voluntarily quit, you know, like any new ownership. And then we were at 6 for probably a year, and then we gradually grew over the years. And it used to be to where we were slow in March and April, so we'd let people have paid time off. But now we're so busy that we can't, and we're at 20 employees already, and we're looking at expanding a few more.
Give me some of your family background. How did you come upon this? Share with the listeners what your family background is.
Honestly, I grew up on a ranch down in Cody, Wyoming, so I've been around that side of things quite a bit. Went to college at NWC in Powell and took some meat cutting courses down there. But my big passion was business, not necessarily the meat side, so we was looking at a business to get into. Kind of fit something that I had a little bit of knowledge of and had a lot to learn, don't get me wrong, but I had a little bit of knowledge of it and just got to go forward and try to follow that business path that I was looking for.
When you say a little bit of knowledge, what does that really mean?
It means very little, because it's like anything in school. I think you learn everything in the actual atmosphere where you're doing the work. School's a good basis, but it doesn't teach you that much as what you would do actually out in the industry. So
have you pretty much hands-on from bottom to top experienced everything in your business?
Oh yeah, I committed myself, and Tanya did as well. I mean, it didn't matter if it meant cleaning the floors and washing knives. You know, we did everything here, and up to the point now where we're quite a bit bigger than we were then, but we had pretty much every job in this place we had to do ourselves. So
Tanya, what is your background?
Well, I'm not from a cattle family, so that was Shane's deal, but I'm just more of a business. I went to school for accounting and bookkeeping and stuff like that, so we do that, and then marketing. So I kind of do the visual part of the business.
So as far as a cattle family, it's ranching, this is in your blood. Was it generations of ranching that your family has been in?
Well, I wouldn't say generations of ranching. I mean, agriculture, for the most part, you know, my family never owned a big ranch. You know, we just worked on those ranches and stuff like that. So the agricultural side is a big part of what we enjoy and what we want to do.
Tell me about the seasonal part of this business. It's all year round. You have busy times and you have times maybe not as busy. Can you share with the listeners some of that?
So in all reality, we always have something to do. We're never really slow, but it's just not as chaotic as what I look at it as. So we do, like most retail stores, from the beginning of the year, that first 6 months is the toughest part, and then the last 6 months is where we start gaining ground and really start getting busy. And it's the same whether it's custom processing or retail side, wholesale side. It's all the same, especially on wholesale, because you're selling to retail clients, so they're busy at that same time as well. So
explain some of the seasons, people who don't know about ranching. You know, there's calving season, and then there's times when the cow actually comes in to be processed. There's hunting season, so you get the wild game. And you had talked about the fair. Talk a little bit through the years.
There's always cattle ready to be processed, and usually hogs ready to be processed from different farmers and ranchers. So, I mean, there's always something coming in our door for us to work on, don't get me wrong. But the majority of animals come due in fall, because they're hitting that 18 month age and they're ready to go. And that's why fairs end up where they do, is because that's generally when animals are ready. So fairs end up at the end, middle to end of summer, because that's when a lot of them are ready. We do 5 or 6 different fairs, I think, and we see hundreds of animals in a short period of time with those fairs coming through here. And then from there on, it's just chaos. So about the 15th of July, things kind of kick on for us. And they don't shut down until we get caught back up probably the end of January, to be honest with you, because we deplete our stock so bad getting through the Christmas season. Wild game used to be a big deal for us. We've had to kind of back away from that as other parts of our business have grown. So we don't do a lot of wild game anymore. That's not our focus so much. And it's just a matter of the retail people and the custom guys. Those guys keep our door open year round. You know, wild game's here for 9 weeks and is gone and you don't see it again. So we really wanted to make sure we took care of those people that walk through our door all the time, all year long. And then you get into Thanksgiving and Christmas, and that's our big retail part of the year, as well as other places that we're wholesaling to. So December in itself can be about 3 times of what we do at any other month of the year.
Now, as far as, again, I'm asking as the consumer, when the cattle is ready, I would say, to be harvested, do you pick up the animal or do they come here?
Our facility is a state inspected facility, so everything has to come here and it has to come in live, and we do everything inside. We feel as though we also get a better product back to our consumer because we're doing it all on nice concrete floors. We've got running water, everything right then and there, not having that opportunity to pick up environmental bacteria or anything like that that goes into these carcasses. So we can control our environment a lot better here. So they all do come into our facility. On a weekly basis, we're buying in our own cattle and hogs that we process for our own retail use and wholesale use. So we see probably getting close to 1,100 head of cattle a year.
Is there a poundage to that? How much meat are you generating? Let's start with, you know, a cow. How much meat do you process through here?
It's tough because, you know, you see small ones, you see big ones, especially cattle, they vary huge. You know, pigs are a little more, you know, within 50 pounds of each other, but cattle are within hundreds of pounds of each other, you know, so it can vary. I'd say on the average, beef that comes to us is about 1400 pounds alive, 800 pound hanging weight. So, you know, you're talking 800,000, 900,000 pounds just in beef we process in a year, I would guess.
That's a lot of meat. Tanya, do you schedule someone? I mean, a farmer is going to come in and say, I have these many hogs that I need you to process. Do they call you up? And then do you schedule that in? And how does that all work?
Well, they just call the store. So we have 3 or 4 people that actually do the scheduling. We have a calendar up front and we have a maximum number of animals we can process a week. So we make sure that they know where we're sitting for the week, and then they just write their name up there and their phone number.
Is there a period of time when it's like the best time to harvest?
It really depends on the customer. So if we're buying them in for ourselves, yes, there is a definite point. That's why most of them are 1,400 pounds. That's generally the weight that you're getting the carcass with the most amount of marbling and the best flavor and tenderness out of that product. But there are some people that, you know, they like a younger animal or they like an older animal. So it can vary from customer to customer. But from a retail standpoint, we pick them at that 16 to 18 month range, you know, right around that 1400 to 1500 pound mark.
We talked about the wild animal. Is there a particular way that you want the hunter to bring his product to you? I mean, he can't just open up his back of his truck and just leave it on your front door.
Well, exactly. And we started that way. We started doing whole animals through our facility. As we grew and got busier, we had to kind of step away from that because that consumed huge amounts of time, 7 days a week coming in. So we backed it off to where we'd bring in clean boneless trim. So it had to be what we call grinder ready. You know, I don't have to pick hair out of it. I don't have to clean dirt off of it. It just goes in. And the reason we do that is it doesn't matter how you look at it. That meat's going to touch somewhere that somebody else's is. And we want it clean for every customer that comes through the facility. So
the working facility is located behind the 1,200 square foot storefront. The processing plant, right off of Highway 312, heading away from Billings towards Huntley and Shepherd, is nondescript. You could easily drive by it, even though it is located right off the road. The retail storefront has packaged meats, seasonings, beef sticks, and jerky for sale. But behind the walls of this space is where the butchering, processing, and packaging of the meats take place. Let's begin at the harvest room, a high-ceiling, open, bright room.
Now. So this is the harvest room, is where we're at right now. Like this machine right here, this is a monster dishwasher. So I'm just installing that. That's what I was working on when you got here. Right now they're cleaning all of our parts by hand because we're in cleanup mode right now. And this is going to take that guy's job and put it in this machine so I can utilize him for more opportunity on profitable kind of things instead of cleaning all the time. So.
And then what he's doing right now, those are just high-pressure hoses that he's basically just washing everything down.
Yeah, high-pressure hot water and sanitizes everything really well.
We next head to the main production room. It is located adjacent to a large high-ceiling refrigerator where half carcasses of meat hang. On this day, there were a couple of dozen halves of beef suspended on hooks.
We have these here. Some of those might be customers that we're cutting for them. Some of them are ours that we're cutting for ourselves. So we bring them out. They're in halves right now. We hang them in halves. We bring it out. We break a half at a time. And so like customers, for sure, we're taking and we're cutting steaks to roast exactly how they want it done. And then for our own, we might just break it into wholesale cuts. So I might just have a rib loin or a New York strip or whatever. And that way down the road, I can cut it how my retail consumer wants it cut later.
From the cold room, the carcasses are moved to this brightly lit room with stainless steel tables and other equipment to be processed.
All right, this is our main production room. So we bring out the halves and beef and hogs, and we break them down, and they go through saw. Coming off the saw, they go to the boning table, and whatever steaks and roasts are go straight to the wrapper. So we're designed so that the guy running the saw can go either way with that product as it's coming off there, and then cambered or whatever can go straight in the grinder, ready to grind. So we've got two grinders. Everything we do is double ground, as is most processors. So we'll run it through one grinder, it'll come out, then it'll do a nice mix and come out the second grinder. We're pretty proud of our setup. It's pretty effective and efficient with guys back here. These guys are pumping out about 1,000 pounds an hour is what they're doing back in this area with six guys working on it. So they go through a lot of meat in a hurry.
After the meat is cut up, it is packaged in the way we see it as an everyday consumer.
The big wrapper on the end is a shrink wrapper. It's a shrink tunnel, so we wrap it in plastic and then the heat sucks it down against the meat nice and tight, so it'll give you a good 12 months in the freezer as far as that goes.
I then asked Shane a question about restaurants, especially in these times when there is a focus on farm-to-table or ranch-to-fork.
Do chefs actually buy a half a cow or a half a hog from you, or a whole hog or a whole cow, and actually butcher it themselves?
No, not really. They've got a menu, and there's certain things they use, so a lot of that is so hard for them to get rid of once they get a half in there, you know. So you go to certain restaurants, and New York's a big thing on their menu. Certain ones is tenderloin. So what are they going to do with a rump, and what are they going to do with a chuck?
Come back to the second part of Flavors Under the Big Sky to learn about Ranch House Sausage Company's sausage and bacon, how they smoke and flavor these products. Welcome back to Flavors Under the Big Sky. We are at Ranch House Sausage Company with Shane and Tanya Flowers. After purchasing Project Meats in 2007, the Flowers not only processed meats at the facility, but added bacon, sausage, and other products. We begin with bacon.
On your product site, you have bacon, bacon, bacon. So that's triple bacon. I'm going to ask you just first, I'm going to ask both of you, why do you think people like bacon?
I don't know. I mean, I just think it's a product that can be used in a lot of different aspects and really enhance the flavors of a lot of different products. We've went to the extent of, maybe Tanya can answer, I don't even remember how many different flavors of bacon we have. We're up in the teens, I know that. So we try to get a lot of variety for people to try some different things, you know. But part of it is, everybody looks for lean, and fat's what actually carries the flavor. And so bacon is naturally fat, so that you get a lot of flavor out of bacon, you know, where some of the other products people are trying to scoot off to the lean side, and they're not getting quite the flavor profiles and whatnot that they would out of that bacon. So I'm not sure what the answer is or why people like it. I'm just as guilty. I love the stuff. I could founder on it, but I think, you know, everybody likes it because it's salty and smoky and ready to go.
Well, I agree with you. I think it's the fat that's the secret to the best part of bacon. Yeah. Tanya, why do you think people like bacon?
Because it's delicious.
And Shane had mentioned the different flavors. Can you share some of those flavors? Because I've looked at them. They look like you have more than a dozen different flavors.
Yeah, we have about 14 right now. We have a garlic pepper, which is really good. We have a honey, a maple. We have a jalapeno that we made that's pretty good. Oh, an apple cinnamon. We have a Cajun. That one's pretty good. And a Southwest bacon. We have quite a variety of them.
How did you come up with all those flavors?
Trial and error. We have a little support group that likes to come in and give us their ideas, and we try them and we bounce them back off of them. They have to eat them. If we make them, they have to try them. And, you know, that's always been a good thing for us.
I think you're going to have people sending in their resumes so that they can be on the bacon tasting team.
Yeah.
Bacon is basically pork belly that has been cured with salt and spices, a process that usually takes up to a week. The meat is then smoked and sliced. But here at Ranch House Sausage Company, Shane utilizes modern technology to shorten the processing time.
So that's called a vacuum tumbler. In today's age, we can cure bacon or hams in a short period of time by using this. And it's all mechanical. There's no added anything going into the meat. So what happens is we pull a vacuum on this thing, and it'll hold 500 pound of ham, about 400 pounds of bacon. And you pull the vacuum and it opens up the molecules of that meat so that cure can get in there a little bit easier. And then you basically just massage tumbling it, and it brings that protein out to the surface to where you can get that cure in there. So we can cure bacon in about 2 hours and hams in about 4 hours, whereas it used to be weeks to cure that kind of stuff. So
that's amazing. So curing just basically means salt and meat. Are there seasonings and all that in there also?
Oh yeah, we've got our own flavor profile, as everybody does. We do our own little tweak to it to try to just get a little bit of edge over our competitors. There's always something flavorful going into that kind of stuff.
The family secret.
Exactly, yeah.
To further flavor their meats, instead of marinating a piece of meat for days to infuse it with flavor, the Flowers have another family secret. This secret machine is about the size of a very large microwave. It has a conveyor belt that leads under a group of 24 hypodermic needles.
So this is where we inject our hams and bacons, this big injector. So when we bring a ham, it's got a conveyor that goes on it as well. So we just set those on the conveyor, it goes through, and it pushes the fluid into them with these needles and gives us a consistent product every time we do it. You can set it so it's doing it the same amount of pump every time, because each individual is going to do it differently. So I can do it and you could do it and we'd have two different products, but this machine will make us consistent.
After the meat has been cured and flavored, it is smoked. We walk into a brick enclosed room where there are 3 smokehouses.
So we've walked into another room that's pretty much a brick enclosed room. And this right here, is this a smoker that we're standing in front of?
Yep, this is one of our 3 smokehouses. Both of these machines that you're looking at are our oldest ones. They both work very well, but we also had to upgrade into a bigger smokehouse, which is right in here. And it's even got a touchscreen microprocessor on it. So that's how well we're tracking our product, is there's actually a microprocessor on our smokehouses. This one has one, older style. And then this is a newer touchscreen smokehouse. So no matter who loads that smokehouse, they can find a program, say for snack sticks. They find that program, hit go, and it'll make it the same as the last guy that just did it.
And these smoke houses that you call, they basically look like big, huge refrigerators. So what is the square footage, do you know, of the larger smoke house?
You know, I don't know square footage, to be honest with you. They rate smoke houses by how much ham it can hold. So every smokehouse is rated by how many hams it can hold. So like these are 500-pound smokehouses, and that's a 650-pound smokehouse. So that's kind of how it's rated. Now, it's kind of deceiving because just because it can hold that much ham, it may only hold 150 pounds of jerky. This big smokehouse, compared to a 25-cubic-foot freezer, it's probably close to twice the size of a 25-cubic-foot freezer.
Let's take a look here. All right, it's like a large closet is what it looks like. A very expensive large closet.
So we could probably fit six adults in there.
Yeah, standing side by side. Yeah, it's quite the piece of machinery. As far as the smoke goes, do you buy it in the form of chips?
Yeah, it's in the form of wood chips. Yeah, they're small, you know, bigger than sawdust.
So the wood chips are sitting in the hopper.
And then it goes down onto a plate that rotates and it heats up, so it actually burns it. So all the smoke is then captured into the hose that goes into the smokehouse. And then the fans in there circulate it around.
And what kind of woods are used?
We use just a hardwood blend for the most part, mainly hickory. We also do some pork with applewood, but we really kind of keep it basic just because we don't have a lot of time for changeover, stuff like that. That's for those guys that are maybe in smaller production levels than we are, you know, but the amount of product that we push through our facility, we have to try to keep it somewhat simple. But it produces a good product. It's a flavorful product. It's something that's not overwhelmingly bitter for the average customer. You know, there are some people that like the bitter thing, but this kind of meets you in the middle, I guess you might say.
The bacon is then proportioned.
This is our bacon slicer. I always brag about the bacon slicer because it was probably one of the best investments we made in a lot of ways because the amount of bacon we do. We're doing about 4,000 pounds of bacon a month, and that'll slice bacon in about one piece of bacon in about 30 seconds. You can see it's got a computer microprocessor on it too, so they can pick the slice, size of slice they want, hit go, hit slice it. All they have to do is pull out the other end and start packaging it.
I never realized how mechanized it all is. Yeah, it's pretty eye-opening.
The more automated we are, the more efficient we are. You know, these guys work hard as it is, to be honest with you. You're always trying to find a way to make it a little easier on them, so, yeah.
From bacon, we go to sausage. We step into the sausage-making area where grounded meat is being extruded from a machine into casings. Two workers guide the filling and then proportions the long tube into sausage about 4 inches long.
So we built this room several years back, brought in some pretty top-end equipment from some pretty good manufacturers to process as quickly and effectively as we can. So these guys, they bring the meat in. It's all ground in our back production area, which we'll get to later. And then they have recipes that they have to follow. Everything's right down to the hundredth of a pound that we're measuring out to as far as seasonings and all those kinds of things. There again, regulatory requirements cause us to make sure that we have to follow every recipe so that when a consumer buys it, they know what they're getting, what's in that product. These guys can make, back here, like I said earlier, 200 pounds every 45 minutes in this room and fill our smokehouses up, rotate them smokehouses a couple different times through the day. So,
just give me a basic recipe. What's in sausage?
So most of our sausage is pork and beef, or just pork or just beef. We do some chicken sausage. We do some buffalo sausage as well. But the biggest thing about sausage, again, comes back to the bacon thing. We have to maintain a decent fat content so that we have quality product. The leaner it is, the more rubbery it is, the less flavor there is to it. So it's very important to us that we hit a good fat content. We try to keep it as lean as we can because we know that's what society's looking for.
So it's basically meat, and you're saying again that important ingredient of fat and seasonings basically is what goes into the sausage?
Yep, yep. Obviously, salt's always a big part of making sausage, a very important ingredient, and then just different flavoring profiles that you use to make different kinds of sausage every time.
And then a sausage is wrapped in what? What packages a sausage?
So for our brats, we use a cellulose casing, which in turn gives you a skinless sausage. So like on these, you can see the black line running down the sausage. That's to make sure that you get the full casing off there tomorrow when they get ready to package. And that comes right off, and there's actually no casing on any of our sausages. Now, other facilities will use a pork intestine as a casing, and then there's also, which we used to use, a collagen casing. Still do you use on our snack sticks. That's what almost all snack sticks are put into, a collagen casing, and we still use them as well for our snack sticks. So,
well, having that probably gives you a more consistent product.
Oh, definitely, yeah. So when you're using a cellulose or a collagen casing, the sizing is almost always identical, as long as the machines and the guys running them are doing what they have to do, we'll always get the same product out of it. We do mostly snack sticks here. Hands down, snack sticks is probably getting real close to 75% of our smoke products that come out of our facility.
From creating sausages for their own retail business, Tanya shares how they are working with local restaurants such as Uber Brew to make custom sausages.
Uber Brew, we create all their sausages for them to their flavor profiles, so they kind of like that. And Oktoberfest, she orders a lot of hers through us. And so we can tweak our recipes, which is nice. So if there's something they want a little different, we just made a beer brat, and we used the Uber Brew beer in it. It was pretty good. So we're trying it out with them to see if they want to start carrying that.
We now go into Billings, to Midtown, where the Flowers opened up Ranch House Meat Company about 5 years ago. In a strip mall near the IGA and Albertsons, this quaint retail store has a boutique vibe, feeling as though you might be at someone's ranch home.
We wanted to bring some country into the town, so we've got a lot of wood things in here and a lot of, like, the bucket lights and all the kind of things that make us feel like country.
Tanya explains how they found this particular location.
Well, actually, we got a realtor to help us, and we did some market research and got some data, and we felt like we'd be better off being positioned between a couple of grocery stores, because since we are kind of a specialty meat shop, figured they can go to their groceries and then come pick up their meat here before they head home.
The store sells prepackaged products, not currently having a saw on site to cut the meats. Meats are separated by type, beef and pork. They offer up Wagyu beef, prime meat from beer-fed cows. In coolers and freezers, there are summer sausages, beef sticks, cheeses, cold cuts, and perhaps the most inviting, Baconopolis, 3 coolerfuls of thick sliced flavored bacon. But it's not just meat they have.
And then we have all of our seasonings and spices and stuff all around. They're just kind of sporadic. We try to put them wherever you might use them. So like for beef products, we have our beef seasonings right above them. The pork, same thing. Like, you know, we have things that complement it. So like we'll have marinara sauce that goes with all our hot Italian sausage, which is really good if you're making spaghetti. We even have noodles. So if you're just coming in for a quick meal, you can grab some items with it.
Well, this is great, so you don't have to go somewhere else.
We're trying to make it simple.
Shane and Tanya Flowers have simplified our lives. We no longer go out and hunt food as our ancestors did. Many of us would not even know how to begin processing a whole animal. We go to the store and buy what we need in nicely sealed packages. I thank Shane and Tanya for taking us into a space that illuminates how our meats are processed and come into our kitchen to be cooked. It was an eye-opener to me how mechanized the task has become. Flavors Under the Big Sky, celebrating the bounty of the region, has been produced with the help of Ken Siebert. Theme music is by Parker Brown. Additional funding has been provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communications on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanians. Thanks to you, listeners, for your support. I'm Stella Fong.